Bildungsentwicklung Tanz, ein Forschungsprojekt, konzipiert, gestaltet und realisiert von Paul Vosser. Heute mit Alban Pinett.
Hello, today we are with Alban Pinett. Alban is a dancer, choreographer, dramaturg, project and production manager. Born in France, he studied at the Bordeaux Conservatoire, at the ballet schools of the Opéra National de Paris, at the Hamburg Ballet, at the Centre Chorégraphique Christian Conte, at Martine Chaumet, and with Florence Compagnon. From 2009 to 2013, he was a member of John Neumeier Hamburg Ballet. In the 2013-14 seasons, he became a member of Ballet Am Rhein and danced in choreographies by some of the greatest contemporary choreographers, including George Balanchine, Mercy Cunningham, Matt Seck, William Forsythe, and Kurt Jooss. In 2012, Alban realized his first choreography, which was followed by others. In 2015, he received a Bachelor of Art in English Literature from the Open University Milton Keynes. In 2017, he decided to end his career as a dancer and joined the Ballet Am Rhein team as dramaturg and production manager in Düsseldorf. Under the direction of Demis Volpi, for the 2020-2021 season, Alban becomes schedule coordinator and production manager. In December 2021, he moves to Theater Bielefeld as dance company director and dramaturg. Hello, dear Alban.
Hello.
So, first of all, would you like to add or correct something in the very short biography I read?
No, it was perfect. Thank you.
Cool. So thank you very much for agreeing to do this interview for my platform Bildung Entwicklung Tanz, Educational Development Dance. And of course, thank you so much for your precious time.
You're welcome. I'm happy to join and to be able to participate in the discussion.
Yes, I'm also very happy you're here with us. So I will start immediately with my first question. How does education relate to dance for you?
I think as soon as we enter the professional circle of dancers, as soon as we enter a professional field, education is definitely very much linked to dance, because education is the first step towards becoming a professional dancer, and it definitely determines who will be able to become a professional dancer, who will be able to actually play a role in the professional field. So both are very linked together because they influence each other. So our practice in the professional field influences what we see, what we create as an education for dancers. But we realize also now very much that what happens and who can access the professional field is definitely influenced by the education and who has access to this education.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Very nice. And I can go on with my second question. Dear Alban, I'm very, very happy to have you here in our microphone, because you are a perfect example, in my opinion, of how a career can evolve towards new goals without reaching its natural end. In fact, your decision to play different roles within the theater institution does not stem from intrinsic reason, but from your interior evolution. I would like you to tell us about this inner journey that led you, I would say, at the peak of your career, to turn towards otherness. Which plan do you have today and which for the future? And since you have remained in the dance branches, which vision, which projects do you pursue?
That's quite a complex question. Well, I mean, my professional career was always influenced by the fact that I had this dream of becoming a dancer, I think, because I always loved this art form. I loved it as an audience, and I love to dance. I think as soon as I started dancing professionally, I saw that there was definitely a distance between what I had imagined would be my everyday life as a dancer and what the reality of a career as a dancer was, which I think can be the case for any profession. We always have this image of how it would be, and then, of course, we're confronted with how it actually is. So I studied first in France and then in Hamburg. And then when I joined the Hamburg Ballet, you know, we have so many productions, you have so many things happening at the same time that it's not anymore about just, yeah, it's definitely not anymore just about enjoying it, but about being able to learn a big amount of repertoire all at once. And to be able to dance it also as a male dancer for the Hamburg Ballet John Neumeier, you had to lift a lot. So it was definitely linked with new challenges, I would say, that in the school you do not necessarily have, because you're quite in a protected bubbles and you do not have so many productions at once. Then you arrive in the company and you realize that you have to learn, I think I counted that in a season we would have definitely 16 different ballets, counting the productions and then the tours. So of course I was not always casted as a first cast in every piece, but definitely I was confronted with the fact that there was no time to learn, but if I had to jump in, I needed to be ready. So I think this was one of the first confrontations with the reality as a dancer, that you feel like, okay, I had my education, but then life within a company is definitely years away from what I trained for, in the sense that you need to become such a high-skilled athlete and you need to have the endurance to do this the whole time. So as much as I had really great experiences, and I think you encounter like amazing teachers that really nurture you and give you a lot of food for thoughts, you also just have to perform. So I think this was quite difficult. And then after 4 years, I changed to Düsseldorf, and already there, it's funny, I can remember that I saw the season and I was like, oh, there are not so many productions. Because of course we had 5 premieres a season in Düsseldorf, like 5 or 4 premieres. And I was like, oh, that's different from Hamburg, because I had to learn so many more things in Hamburg. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that actually it was really good for me, because we had productions when we really had the time. For example, I mean, one of my all-time favorites was Dancing Cunningham, because I had always dreamed of dancing a piece of his. And I was dancing Scenario. And it was definitely an interesting process. Also dancing Matzek, Retika was quite amazing. I mean, I got the chance to dance things that I think in bigger companies, not in bigger companies, but in companies with bigger repertoires, when you don't really have the time to develop things, I might never have the opportunity to do. However, I think during those 4 years or so, also with the Ballet am Rhein, more and more I realized like, okay, I really need to rely on my body and on my athleticism to be able to pursue this career. And I didn't feel so good with this anymore. I was also in a well-casted in a ballet by Paul Taylor in Esplanade. And during one of the, because there are only 3 men in this piece, and I was one of these 3 men, and it was like such a nice rehearsal process. But I twisted my ankle during the rehearsals. And then I realized, okay, like, so I had the feeling I was at the peak of what I could do, and I was really working so hard. And then just because of an accident, you are like faced with the fact that compared to other jobs, I guess, you can't you can't continue this job, and then you have to find like new landmarks in your life. And at that moment, when I was doing my recovery, I realized, oh, it's not so bad not to dance anymore. And because I had been studying the whole time before with distance learning, I had developed, thanks to the study, this ability to actually organize my everyday life for myself. And I felt like there were many perks to not dancing anymore, to not being part of a company with an ensemble, with a group where you have to follow what everyone does, basically. And you, of course, so that a company works, there needs to be someone organizing it and telling you what to do. And particularly in dance, then it means that nearly every hour of your schedule is organized. And I think it's definitely a decision, and maybe a character style, personality style, if you like it or not. I discovered at that time that, or I didn't discover, but I felt a discomfort that showed me that maybe I should try to find something else. And it took a lot of thinking and finding the courage to actually say, okay, I need to stop this career so that I can start something new. And like you say, I like the fact that you called without, so that a career can evolve towards new goals without reaching its natural end, because it was definitely like ein Bruch in German, a seizure from what I had been doing. And it took a lot of energy. Whoops. It took a lot of energy to actually accept this and to try something new. And then I was lucky enough that a person, there were some fluctuations in the team of the Ballet am Rhein as production manager and dramaturge. As the person who was doing it, Cecilia Brenninkmeyer, became pregnant, and they were looking for someone to replace her for the time being. Yeah, and it was, yeah, I just went to the chief dramaturge, Anne Lopasso, and I had prepared the CV and a motivation letter without telling her. And I was like, I heard that you're looking for someone, so here's my application. And yeah, it worked out very well. It turned out that I got the job, which I was very happy about. And they really supported me in this decision. I mean, you needed a diploma to be able to apply for this. And I had the diploma from my distance learning. So I guess I was lucky, but I also worked for it. So I was happy to see that actually there was it wasn't a natural end to my career, because I had to take the decision to quite early with 28 to stop it and to start something new. But actually I felt like there was definitely a development towards something that would fulfill me more. Because I think the main idea why I wanted to apply for this job was that dramaturgy had always fascinated me, and I always read the programs that were written in Hamburg and in Düsseldorf, and I loved that, and always thought, oh, it would be amazing to be able to write those programs. And with the study in English literature, it definitely somehow made sense and gave me some skills that could be applied to dramaturgy. So yes, and
and I really like your modesty. You talk about luck, but it seems to me that you were the right person at the right time, and this is because of your previous studies. So you were ready. You were ready for the opportunity presented to you, and that's the best one can do. And that is why I'm happy, very happy to bring your example to our microphone. And your curiosity and hunger for knowledge paid off.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I feel like from the beginning of my career as a dancer, I really wanted to be able to develop in other directions. But at the same time, I never thought that my education with the Open University in humanities would open any doors. I just did this because I wanted to study and to learn. And somehow there was some kind of luck, in the sense that getting this job and like actually this job becoming free for a while, and the fact that Cecilia was pregnant. So it was more a trial because they didn't know. So it was an act of faith from the team to say, okay, we let you do this because it's not everywhere so accepted, I guess, that you're a dancer and then you become part of the management. Also, I was very young and it's there were a lot of challenges because, of course, suddenly I was part of the management and had to take decisions or had to communicate decisions from the direction to the dancers where I had been one of them before. Not that I like to oppose one and the other, the team and the dancers, but yeah, there was definitely some challenges linked with it that I was very happy the management trusted me with this new job and this new responsibilities. I think I'm not answering all your questions because I know that...
No, it's perfect. I mean, it's just the next will be like your plan for now and for the future. It will be maybe also related to the beautiful project you are doing with Gianni Cuccaro. And not only, I mentioned Gianni because it was also in these microphones. You can talk shortly about if you liked. But I like to point one more time because... You say you were lucky. I say you were curious and you continue to develop. And this helps you in the moment of luck, because if it would have happened for you without having the preparation, you would not be able to take this chance. And this say to me that maybe all the system has to be rethought. So maybe not, of course. For sure, not only in dance, but we are dancer and we're talking about what we know. That the preparation university should also make people aware to parallel, to prepare themselves, to cultivate other passion or other skills that one day they will help us to reborn. You did it by your own. And that is it's very merited from you, but I believe it should be more planned. But then maybe it's coming in the last question. But so, yeah. If you want to tell us about your plan today, or also for this last project you are directing, because I think with your experience and with your journey, probably you have you are building up a vision of how you want to work with the theater and in dance.
You mean the vision for the therapy or the vision for like the structures within
just the field? For the structure or mm-hmm. the things mm-hmm. I think all the things you're doing, they are very well welcome in this platform, and so I let you the one that's closer to your art.
I think a big question now, because I was also again lucky enough to be able to apply for the direction, for the co-direction of Bielefeld for this season. That's quite a special season. It's a transition season between two big directions. And we'll see how it goes on in the future because we don't know yet. But I was lucky to be able to apply for this spot in the leading team of the company. And of course, this time being part of a smaller company, I would say, because we have 10 dancers in the company and two more thanks to subventions from the from NRW, from the region, and from Germany, actually. So you see different challenges and you see you can somehow be much closer to the dancers. And I think in a bigger company, when I was in Düsseldorf, you have 45 dancers, you have somehow still a lot of productions, definitely now under the direction of Demis Volpi. And so you need to deal with all these challenges that you're constantly working. And there is less time definitely to be able to listen to the needs of everyone. Although I think Demis Volpi is doing a great job with this, but here in Bielefeld, we have less productions. We have also somehow more room and more space to be able to listen to the needs of the dancers. And also as a dancer, I knew about my needs and we're definitely now challenged with some new requests. Actually, they might not be new, but some requests from the dancers about their education, what they expect to do within the working time. And as soon as you start to listen to those questions, you realize that there is still a lot of work to do from our side, from the management side, concerning like more flexible structures that allow everyone to find their way, their rhythm to work. And we always compare it. I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but when we see other sportsmen, sportswomen who like footballers, for example, they have definitely a much different rhythm than we have. And they're working with a lot of coaches, with a lot of therapists. So seeing that, you actually realize that we ask a lot from the dancers and from their bodies to always perform, to be fit every day of the week in rehearsals. And so I think we're definitely confronted as management at the moment with those questions. How can we create a safe space and a safe working time so that everyone can actually become better artists and also take care of their bodies? So also now that I'm here, I see that we worked a lot in Hamburg and were learning a lot of different pieces, which is very enriching. And at the same time, it's very tiring. So it's like, how do you deal with this? Is this something that cannot be negotiated? Is this something that will stay like this forever? Or is this something which we should talk about? And we definitely try in BFL to find ways to listen to the needs of the dancers and at the same time still be able to perform and have the productions that we want to do and develop an artistic vision. So it's always this clash of how many requests can there be and how much can we expect from the dancers and how much can they expect from us also. So it's definitely interesting and it's definitely an ongoing process where you always have to question the way everything worked until now and the way you want it to work in the future. But it's linked with a lot of questioning, definitely. I think there is no answer for now. Maybe in the future there will be some plans, some concrete plans how to do this, but right now, I think we definitely see that we are dealing with old structures of production management, of when the performances are. But we also start to listen to the expectations and the requests of the dancers, which is difficult. Because you see that there needs a change, but where the change can start is not clear yet. There are many ways, I think, to tackle this.
Yes, and I think you are, sorry to say, but the right person, the right place. But I would like also to correct one of my shortcomings. I mentioned only Gianni, but in the team, there is Gianni Cuccaro, you, and Sara Delterre, and Kerstin Tölle.
Yes.
In a different way, it would be not correct to say. No, very nice. And I have my favorite question. So last one for you. And how do you think education of the body should be in the future?
It's interesting because the way education has been created in the past and the way we hold on to a certain tradition of ballet is, there is this tradition, but there are also many new ways of teaching and of approaching the body. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a guest here, Julie Ostouk. I worked a lot with her in Bordeaux, and we're always exchanging about how education, dance education, is happening. She's a teacher in the Conservatory of Bordeaux for contemporary dancing, and what we talk about a lot is that there have been new ways developed to teach ballet, to teach a certain consciousness of the body and a certain respect of the limitations of the body. But these techniques have not necessarily arrived, I guess, in big companies or everywhere, just because it's something that takes time, and it's also something that needs space. It's also, again, education is not only education of the body for the dancers, but also education of the teachers. And there are many great teachers that belong to a different generation, that of course don't have the time or the space, because of many productions, because of the way they work, to be confronted with new ways of teaching. And so this is something particularly in regard to ballet that will take time and that needs to be taught. I think there are many institutions that are going in this direction, many institutions that educate new teachers. And the education of the body is also now very much linked to, on one part, this new awareness of how to move and how to respect the body, and on the other part, on how to be in the room with other bodies in this sense. So how to deal with dancers, how to deal with their needs at different times, because of course when we work with the body, we're not only working with the body, we're also working with people who have their experiences, and how to approach them will be definitely different from one person to the other. I'm personally not in the studio with the dancers teaching them, but I try to be in the studio as much as I can, observing and seeing how creations are happening. And we have here in Bielefeld an agent for diversity, Leon Adelger, and we're also talking a lot about what does it mean now to work with bodies and with dancers, with their own experiences and with their needs, to recognize that on some days they will not be able to perform as much as other days. On some days they need to also psychologically to take the time to respect their limits. And we're definitely working in a tradition, I think also in contemporary dancing, where we're expecting from the dancers, because they get paid and it's their job, to actually be able to perform every day and to bring the best of themselves every day. But that's the question. Is this sometimes, I do believe that it's difficult to ask this from them, and because body and mind are so linked, there needs to be some techniques developed to understand that on some days some people will not be able to do what we ask from them and from their bodies. But that's a big discussion, and it has to do with limits. It has to do also with, I agree that it has to do also with how much can you push someone. We're working in a tradition where the education of the bodies is very much linked with pushing yourself beyond your limits, but there are also other techniques and other philosophies about how to actually improve with working respectfully with your body. Yeah. It's
great. Yes, and I think it all has to do with the main thinking behind the decision of the management structures. This applies to all areas of work clearly. And if I think that my employed is just pure manpower, or as it called nowadays, a resource, human resource, then I think he must be controlled and punished if he steps out of line, or if it does not perform, or if does not perform as expected. But if, on the other hand, I think my employee is a collaborator who wants to contribute to the success of the end product, Then I will have a different attitude towards his difficulties and problems. I will not think he's lazy, but I will think maybe he's tired, right? And certainly, when we talk about dancers, we are talking about people who are driven by a passion for what they do. People who will probably never become rich in all their life, and who ever, if they are public figures, will probably never achieve to success, or let's say to the success of stars in other more prominent fields, and that in itself should be the clear proof that dancers are not lazy or unwilling if they do not always perform 100%. And moreover, in many cases, it is the dancer themselves. They are the dancers themselves who punish themselves if they fail to meet the direction expectations. And even more often is they punish themselves if they fail to meet their own expectation. And this constantly waiting and this constantly wanting to go behind the limit and being better and is always a prelude of physical and psychological dysfunction, self-exploitation, let's call it. And this is a very big argument in dance, and many times oft to burnout. So that's our the team that make us talking.
When I see also that there are a lot of I had some colleagues that had a very positive attitude towards working and towards learning and educating themselves on how to deal with their bodies. But of course, it's not necessarily something that you learn in dance schools. And I think it's something that should be also placed in the center of education, because those dancers, I mean, I was, when I was in Paris Opera, it was now it was like more than 20 years ago, and it was definitely another time, and like screaming as a tool for teaching was definitely accepted and was not a problem. And I see other of my colleagues, some of them were my friends also, that have such a different attitude towards education. They're self-confident and they want to speak for themselves and to also try to take the best even when a teacher is not so nice to them. And I think to some extent it was something that I was for a long time not able to do. It was always linked with self-criticism. And so I think like recognizing your own needs when you're in an education educating structures, which is also, I mean, every time a choreographer comes with us, there is also some part of education, some part of transmission, definitely, of the work, where you have to say, to be able to stand for yourself and to say, today I cannot take this information. And I think most of the dancers, as you say, will not do it because they are lazy, but because they really on that day cannot. And I always tell my colleagues now that the difference for me and what I appreciate with my job now, it's perhaps something that we shouldn't say, but I'm sure that many people who work in the office would agree with this. Compared to dancers, where you always ask them to bring the best of themselves every day, every hour of rehearsal, I'm in a place where in front of my computer, I can, there are days where I can work slower, where I can take my time. Maybe I will choose also tasks that are easy for me and that are, and bigger tasks that are challenging or that needs a lot of energy from me, because it's about calling a choreographer with whom it's difficult to organize something. That's, some daunting, aspects of my work. I will say, okay, I will do that tomorrow, and today I can rest a bit and take care of my soul. And then tomorrow I'll when I wake up, I know I have to do it and I'd be a fighter and I'd go for it. But this is a luxury you don't have as a dancer. Because as a dancer, often, I mean, in a perfect working setting, of course, they would have this luxury. But I know from many companies, from the companies I work with, that there is one rehearsal where you can rehearse it once with everyone. So you better use this time, otherwise you'll go on stage without being ready. And yeah, so I think this is how do you create this space so that you can allow everyone to take their time and yet still be professional. I don't feel personally when I'm in front of my computer and I choose to do a task that is easier for me that I'm not being professional. I'm just able to choose to make choices in my everyday life that are more difficult in the structures we have at the moment in companies, because dancers don't have this, not always this luxury to choose what they do. And I understand that they dance in a group, they dance in a company where you need everyone to be together. But I think there needs, we need to create those spaces, those times where people can actually make their own choices during the day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would resume with all what you say with giving people responsibility. If I give responsibility, people will react with this. If I take out, and I think for too long time, we took out the responsibility of themselves to the dancer. So they are kind of soldier. They don't have, they don't feel also to take any responsibility. And that's probably the problem.
But I understand also that it also has to do with the structures of the theater, with the way seasons are programmed. Of course, at some point, it will not have an impact on the quality of the art, but maybe on the quantity, because I like this metaphor that you use with the soldiers. If you need to go from one place to the other and to the other place in one day and then to the other place, there is no time to talk. There needs to be a clear direction and everyone needs to stick to it. If you want people to be able to chip in and take responsibility and also share their thoughts, you need to create the space for it and the time, because otherwise these structures will never be able to grow. Just because there are so many obligations to perform here and there and there and there. Even in Bielefeld, we have around four productions of dance, and still then we do find it difficult to make time for company meetings, for the dancers to talk between each other. So I'm not talking about companies where they have, like, in a season, 15 different productions. Then it's like, where is the space to actually be able to say something? Yeah, and it's funny because in Hamburg, now that I think about it, I think I never had a company meeting at the time. Yeah, I don't think so. In Düsseldorf, it was a bit more often, but... Yeah.
Yes, because you didn't have anything to decide.
Yeah, exactly. Which was, I guess, I was just 19. It was my first contract. So I guess it was fine.
Cool. So, dear Alban, I thank you very much for your contribution, and I hope your words and sharing of your experience and path inspire our listeners. And I'm very sure about this. And may this short conversation result in a new connection for a free and productive exchange of knowledge. And of course, may this contribute to new discussion that enrich and improve the education system of dance and through dance.
Thank you for the invitation. It was really interesting. And I hope that this discussion can continue. And I know that here in Bielefeld, in the theater, there is a research for new structures, how to find the theater of the future. And I think this discussion is important and will be also for the arts, not only for the dancers, but for arts in general.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I wish you good job and good continue the group. And thank you one more time.
Das Forschungsprojekt würde durch das Förderprogramm Distanzen finanziert. Das Tanzen ist Teil des Hilfsprogramms Tanz, das im Rahmen von Neue Start Kultur, einer Initiative der Beauftragten der Bundesregierung für Kultur und Medien, gefördert ist.